Recording. All right, and we are rolling. So today is the 1st of November, which means it's practically Easter, right? Or Christmas. Just kidding. And this is the Friday noon Eastern time PSS call. And this week we are talking about parenting positively. And so really quickly, let's do a check-in and a celebration. So check-in, tell us your name, where you are in the world, if this is your first call, a little bit about the child that brought you to us, and then celebrate something that's been going well in the past couple weeks. It can be just the fact that you made it to the call, or it can be something that's going great with your kid. Just go ahead and check in and celebrate. Who wants to go first?
Switzerland. I am very pleased to have participating call from the first second because
Yay!
Of the change of the time zones, and well, it has been difficult, but now I am in. And especially to mention that the morning routine has been improving a lot from the coaching calls that I partially heard last two times on getting just one specific idea on what is in his agenda, and in the agenda of my son was the telephone. So he can have the telephone as soon as he's had breakfast and dressed and is by the door. So it has been working perfectly. Yes.
That's wonderful. What do you think has been making the difference?
The understanding of the other side. Who's on the other side of the table. Yes. Looking the other perspective. My goal was one, but his goal was with a prize, which was to have the mobile, which I was not very happy at the beginning, but it's working. So.
Wonderful. Good. That's a great celebration. Thank you.
Yes.
Heather, what do you want to celebrate?
Let's see. Well, I guess a couple nights ago, I just made everybody try to eat the same thing for dinner instead of making cheese pizza, which I do every night. So my daughter ate a bite of a corn dog and three tater tots for dinner. So there you go.
That's awesome. So that's a celebration because she tried something new?
My son just went to his room and cried, but I tried. So
that's good. I think that's awesome.
And I didn't serve something else. So
good for you.
Yeah,
thank you. I know that was something you wanted to work on. Yeah, for sure. Okay. Let's see. Now we are going to go, let's see, I'm going to celebrate real quick myself because I'm taking my fabulous husband to Las Vegas this weekend. He turned 50 in September, and he loves Lady Gaga, and we got tickets to go see Lady Gaga. So we're going to go see Lady Gaga tomorrow, but we're flying out this afternoon. So I'm celebrating that we're taking time for ourselves and that we are taking time to spend time together as a couple, which is awesome. So that's my celebration. And I'm proud of us because usually we cancel or reschedule when it gets right up on it. One of us has to work or something comes up with the kids and we end up making the decision not to go, but we are going. So I'm excited. Okay, so now we're going to go back around and take aim. The topic this week is parenting positively. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. But taking aim doesn't necessarily have to be on the topic for the week. It can be, you know, on whatever is top of mind. It can be on the change that you want to see. And typically it is on the change that you want to see either in your behavior or your kids' behaviors. So whatever comes up that seems like it's been bugging you or something that you want to work on or focus on or pay attention to the most with your kids, go ahead and jump in and tell me what you want to take aim on. Heather, why don't you go first?
Okay. I was trying to, I'm trying to learn how to establish schedules because we're an ADD family and our lifestyle is largely fluid. So how to make things routine, you know. So I'm kind of researching how to do that, how to put structure in place for my kids. So this week, one day I took them out of the house. It's easier if I take them out of the house for a couple hours and then come back. School doesn't get out till 4 o'clock, but then they're at home from 4, and then we go to bed around 8:30. So, and since it's it's harvest right now. My husband isn't available, so for me, for three kids, it's hard for me to put structure in place for a 4, 6, and 8-year-old. So I'm just trying to, you know, figure out what does this look like and how do I keep my kids from jumping on each other and killing each other, you know?
That sounds good. So, any specific, like, time frame that you're trying to put structure around or just everything?
Just, well, I mean, I suppose everything. Like, what, like, I would like it if I could do 30 minutes of homework or, you know, then do meal and then do cleanup or, like, you know, bedtime, bath, bed, whatever.
Sure. So just I'm going to kind of push on that, hopefully get you to narrow it down just
good.
A little bit.
Are
we focusing on routines for yourself, routines for your kids, routines, I mean, just
routines,
you know, morning, dinner, bedtime?
Right, exactly. I mean, what's the normal, I don't know how to do something with the three kids. Like, when it comes to reading, my daughter's supposedly having trouble in her reading and math, but helping one kid without the other two, like, what can I do with the other two kids? Like, how can I focus on helping a kid with the other two?
Okay.
I don't know.
So it's figuring out how to give one-on-one attention to a kid?
Yeah.
While not letting the other two, like, run amok?
Right, exactly, without having to use the iPad, because I've noticed, like, it's better if we just don't use iPad, because it seems like it's not, there's no limitation. I don't know. Or
Got
I can
it.
Use, it is a great tool, but I'm just trying to, you know,
you
put
don't want
to
use it
limits.
Exclusively.
Right, exactly. I don't think it's good for kids to be on there for too long, especially when they're small.
Gotcha. Okay.
I don't know.
Cool. Thank you. Claudia, what do you want to take aim on?
I like the topic of the positive parenting, because in the last few months, we have been a little bit tired and negative and pointing on my son, like stressing him even more. Really, like, getting into, to see all the things that he does is what is fulfilling now, and we are really shifting the how we see the things. So I like this topic for the moment. And also in the stress management that I was also, like, trying to focus, like, also, so for the parents, we have recently enrolled to a 8-week course that is MBSR, the mindful-based stress reduction. And the two things have been very positive. I mean, just because we are in the moment, like, releasing ourselves from the pressure that we were having.
Good. No, I love that. And so you're taking in kind of on yourself to some extent, right? Sort of recognizing the things that are triggering you, and then understanding an alternative reason behind what's happening, kind of thing, and keeping yourself calm in the face of things that your son's doing. Did I capture that correctly?
Yes. Like to point the finger to us and to see what we should change in order to improve the things.
Got it.
Not only the solution on changing the kids, no, which you have been mentioning different times. Yes.
Okay.
That has been really changing a lot.
Good. I'm so glad. Isn't that amazing? It's such a good feeling. Fabulous. Thank you for sharing.
Also, you know what? I know that there is a different area in your methodology, but also has a positive impact, of course, in the relationship, no, with the kid, because that helps, that improves immediately, because then the stress is taken off from the energy that is happening between parents and the kid, no. So, in the rest of the area, having a good impact.
Yeah. Yeah, it is amazing the difference that it makes. You're able to kind of shift one piece of the interaction and maybe add some understanding of what's happening and why. Completely changes the expectations and changes the dynamic almost entirely, which is fabulous. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, we have Lital. Yeah. Welcome.
Hi, yes.
Hi, did I say your name right?
Yes, you did.
Wonderful. Okay.
Hello?
Would you like to? Yeah, can you hear me? Yeah. you want to go ahead and check in, celebrate, and take him all at the same time. Can you do all those things at once?
I don't know. Sorry. Can I just take
him? All right, that's okay.
Yeah, sure, of course.
Well, tell me where you are in the world, and hang on one second. Tell me where you are in the world, and then tell me a little bit about the child that brought you to us, and then take aim if you wouldn't mind. That way we all have a good idea of who's here and what we've got going on.
I'm in Philadelphia. My son Jonah is 8 years old in third grade. He has pretty significant ADHD, and I'm here because I guess I just feel like I have exhausted other resources, and I'm trying to figure out how to get things on track at home.
Awesome. Cool. So what do we want to take aim on?
So I would like to take aim on getting him to be able to get out of bed in the morning and cooperate with putting on clothes.
Okay. Okay, so get out of bed as in just like standing outside the bed, or are we talking about, you know, moving in the direction of the bathroom, brushing teeth, that kind of thing, or are we talking about?
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Okay, got it. All righty, we can, sorry, I hit the wrong button. We can definitely work on that. Cool. Okay, did everybody get a chance to look at the workbook? It's okay if you didn't. And if you don't, for some reason, have access to the workbook, please let me know, and I will have the team follow up with you and figure out what's going on there. But, okay, positive parenting or parenting positively. This is one of the critical components of our system because, I mean, if we can't come from a place of positivity, then everything kind of gets mucked up because it's really easy, right, to dwell in that I do that sense of like everything's falling apart, you know, and it just becomes like this giant heavy winter coat that you're wearing all the time, and it weighs you down, and you get stuck in that place, and it just feels icky. And you know, I'm a big believer in the fact that we become our dominant thought. And so, if our dominant thought is that this sucks and everything is negative, then really everything ends up, you know, being kind of sucky. And forgive my extensive and expansive vocabulary there, but I think that's a pretty apt description of it, truly. When things are bad, or they feel like they're bad, and everything feels bad, you know, all in all, it's just not a good place to be. And so, you know, part of parenting our kids is going to be stressful, right? Because we're always in and out of this stress cycle. And, you know, we get triggered. And when we get triggered, we're stressed. And when we're stressed, we get triggered. It becomes this whole vicious cycle. And then we're no longer in control of our rational brain. And it's that whole amygdala hijack thing, right, where your primitive brain takes over. You've got this whole fight or flight thing, and we no longer have the capacity to make, like, a rational or reasonable decision or to even speak calmly and confidently, right? And so I think it's important for us to remember that we may not able to be to control the things that trigger us, and we may not even be able to control ourselves when we're triggered. But what we can do is recognize that we're triggered and back ourselves out of the situation, right? So we can't be effective parents if we're triggered. And if we're recognizing that we're triggered, you know, the first thing is like acknowledging that you're triggered, being like, okay, I'm upset now. It probably really has nothing to do with my kid. It probably has everything to do with me. And so you take a deep breath and you take your own kind of time out. And I'm not saying you put yourself in a corner, but, you know, depending on the situation, and this is how we work with our kids too, you know, take a time out how you can. Leave the room, take deep breaths, you know, walk around the house, get a glass of water. We talk a lot about cave brain and how, you know, back in the early days of society, cavemen were always situated near water because that was how they knew they were safe. And so, and that, there's a part of our brains that still remembers that, believe it or not. But that's why, you know, you see people like on TV shows or, you know, when someone's upset, they bring them a glass of water. And there's something about having a glass of water that really actually does calm down your brain. So if you're in that flight or flight, amygdala hijack mode, a glass of water does help, strangely enough. And the other important thing to remember is not to engage when you're triggered. So, you know, you already know you're upset. If you weren't able to remove yourself from the situation for whatever reason, and you're not able to be in a place where you're calming yourself down, don't engage with whoever you're in the room with because it's not going to go well, right? And so if you can, you know, once you've gotten to a place where you're a little more calm, so the important thing there is to tell yourself a story that may also be true. And that's typically a way to come from a place of empathy and help you understand where your child is coming from, or your spouse or your co-parent is coming from. You know, in some situations, it doesn't have to be this hunky-dory rainbow unicorn story. It can just be like, my kid's having a really hard time today. They're not being a jerk just to be a jerk. You know, they're having a really difficult time processing what's going on. And sometimes even that little tiny shift can allow us to shift out of being triggered and into a place of empathy, which is kind of what you were talking about earlier, Claudia. So that's, you know, that's the whole thing with our kids, right? Our kids do not respond to anger. They don't respond to negative consequences. They respond much better to carrots rather than sticks or candy or whatever your kid's currency is. And so, you know, it just works better all around if it can come from a place of positivity, because it's going to be easier for them to do the things that they need to do to be successful. And it's going to be easier for us to stay out of that place of negativity. So I'm hearing a lot of background noise. If there's someone who's not on mute, if you could mute yourself and then just unmute yourself when you're ready to chime in. I do have the power to mute from here. So if I mute you by accident or on purpose, I'll try to unmute you when I call on you to talk. Thank you very much. Okay, where was I? I mean, and you know, the other thing about this whole positive parenting thing is that, you know, our kids hear lots of negative things in their lives, right? I mean, there's all kinds of studies out there that talk about how many negative things our kids hear each day, and how few positive things our kids hear. And it takes, I mean, depending on the study that you look at, it takes an average of, or a ratio of like 5 positive things to every negative thing in order to balance out the one negative thing, right? Because our kids are, they have rejection-sensitive dysphoria, they're hypersensitive to criticism. You know, if they hear negative stuff, if they hear 100 positive things and one negative thing, they're going to focus on the negative thing, and it's going to, like, hurt them the most. And so, you know, if you think about all the things that you say to your kid each day, and let's say maybe there's 5 negative things, that means you need to have close to 30 positive things to balance out those 5 negative things. And I'm not very good at math, but if I were to try and do the math and see if I was able to hit that balance, I can assure you that I would be far off. And I have 5 kids. So if I had to hit that for all 5 kids, or if I was trying to hit that for all 5 kids, there's just no way. So, I mean, truly just from a functional standpoint, it's easier for me to come from a place of positivity than a place of negativity, because there's just no way that I can balance those two out. And I know at school they're already hearing lots of negative things, right? So what's coming up for you guys when we're talking about positive parenting?
So I really love what you're saying, you know, the 5 positives for every negative. But when we're trying to stop negative behaviors, my house is really quick to, you know, be a yelling house. You know, stop running, stop jumping on the couch, stop hitting your sister, you know, or your brother, mm-hmm. whatever this is.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets to be stern, and it feels angry or aggressive, because it kind of is. You know, how can
right.
you redirect, you know, but, or,
sure.
you know, put them outside, or, you know, different things, but how, I don't know how to be positive on that. Like, I'm really grateful that you have this much energy. Can we do, I don't know, you know.
No, I know what you're saying. So, yeah, I mean, so it's certainly we're not talking about situations where someone's, you know, safety is at stake, or where, you know, physical violence is
right.
happening. And yeah, those are deal breakers, right? I mean, there's, you can't
right.
allow that to continue. And I'm not saying that it needs to be a situation where you're praising your kid for not hitting them too hard.
Right,
like
exactly,
saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, and this is the part that's so hard, is that we have to reward the good stuff. And, you know, everyone says catch them being good, and that's, like, really hard to remember in the moment, you know.
Right.
Because if they're being good, then you're trying to get stuff done, right? And so we have to reward and recognize the good behavior when it happens. And then, what's the best way? The kind of neutral ways, I guess, to reinforce consequences or negative actions. So you want the opposite to happen, right? So I'm not saying that there aren't situations
uh-huh.
that require a raised voice, but
right.
ideally there's going to be a response that's at least neutral, if that
uh-huh.
makes sense. And the thing is that if you
right.
get upset, then it's even more difficult for you to effectively parent, because once everyone's yelling, no one's hearing anybody. So it doesn't matter.
Right,
what
exactly.
Yeah. So that's what, you know, why we talk about ahead of time. We put these things in place, you know, the house rules, approaching things from a place of calmness, you know, and saying, these are the rules. This is what we agreed on. You're hitting your sister. And so now you need to go to a different room, or we're going to go to a different room.
Right.
Just like
exactly.
I said, if everyone's triggered, you remove yourself from the situation and you don't engage. Now, I'm not talking, like, they're running out
right.
of the street, obviously. There's can't remove yourself from the situation, let your kid play on the highway. But, I mean, is that making sense?
And I suppose these are probably tools, too. Like, this just brings up my need, too. It's like, I should probably just do the sanity stuff, sanity school stuff. Is that, like, more of the specific tools for putting a sense of calm and normal in your household? Is that right?
Sanity school is kind of like an ADHD 101. I mean, it's a good primer. It's a good, it's good basic information to have, but this is really where you're getting the tools.
Okay.
It's the way, at least that's the way our system's designed. I do recommend, if you guys haven't done sanity school, that it's something to do, but PSS is kind of the next step up, in terms of implementing what you learned in sanity school.
Mm-hmm.
But they are also standalone. So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Claudia, what's coming up for you?
So can I participate? No?
Yes, please.
I am not sure. I was not sure if it was the moment. So I am Claudia. In my case, I am ADD and also my son. So that's an important factor here. But I started using the technique of observing first what was triggering my son on the yelling and all the like aggressive behavior, and of course was always after in the very moment that he really has to turn off the TV and the console, not the PS4, etc. So, and I see this routinely, no? So first I like started long lasting and negotiating, like, okay, the next video, 5 minutes, but at the end it always comes to the same point, no? So then so I identified that, and I said, okay, he will be shouting, no? And so also from your content that I have been hearing, the point of forgiving a bit him, because he's already not able to forgive himself for shouting me, no, and for behaving as such, and try not to be triggered then, because it's, my trigger is that someone shouts. It's just something that I cannot stand, no? Everyone was then, no, but then I felt like he tried to like tell things, but I was not reacting, just like apology. And when he was calming down, and this has been very helpful, so he started going to his bedroom or this or that, and then we retake the point, but also like forgiving him for something that is an error of him, no, and he will, and this helps him to overcome that moment, and has been helpful. The only point there is that when the reward, at least verbally, that, oh, Carlos, you tried and you managed to calm yourself, he said, like, yes, you see, I don't like you giving me this positive feedback. This is just useless. So, well, that's the only point that I have to now. Yeah. Okay, well, I will not tell you anymore my positive feedback or the things that I think you did well, no? But it has been a good cycle in my case, at least.
Good. I love that. Oh, that's awesome.
Isn't that funny what a difference it makes? You know, it really does. It makes a huge difference, you know, and you can feel it, I think, in my, at least I know I can. And it's not to say that we don't all kind of like relapse into being yellers sometimes or have moments, but there's just a difference that you feel in your body, I think, when you're, you know, either like lecturing kids or getting angry or even just being really firmly directive compared to, you know, sort of this positive interaction and reward and praise and helping them feel good about what they've done and the choices that they've made. And you know, what you focus on grows, I found. So if you find ways to be positive and to recognize the positive things that your kids are doing, you're going to find even more ways and even more positive things going on as the days go by. Itala, what are you thinking?
Hi. I am not, I mean, I'm sorry. I don't know, honestly. I think it's easier for me at this point to listen. I'm having a hard time getting anywhere with my son at the moment.
Okay, tell me about that.
Well, should I talk specifically about what I'm taking aim on?
Well, no, I mean, to say you're having a hard time. So what's, is it the topic? Is it that nothing positive is coming to mind? Is it that you're feeling stuck? Or I'm just trying to understand what's going on.
I think all of the above. I'm just looking for anything that will get get him to move in the right direction.
Okay, and what does that look like?
Well, mostly it looks like he just doesn't respond when we ask him to do something.
And so moving in the right direction would mean. Okay.
So moving
in the right direction would mean that he hops up and goes, does it right away, or?
It would be that he would acknowledge that he hears us to start with, that we're saying something to him.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a start.
And so does
sometimes
he have
sometimes I just ask him to at least acknowledge that he's heard me, but it's very hard to even get an acknowledgement out of him.
And does he have, is ADHD his only diagnosis?
Yes, he doesn't have, as far as we know, he doesn't have auditory processing issues. I think it's selective.
Okay. And so it only happens at home, or does it happen at school as well?
That's a good question. I think mostly at home.
Okay. And so that might be something to find out, right? Like, so what's happening at school? How are they saying things that prompt him to do the next thing? Is there a way that they're phrasing things that can be mimicked at home? What happens when you ask him to do something and he ignores you?
Well, like, for instance, I'll say, you know, good morning. So it'll look different depending on if he's asleep or awake when I go into his room. Let's say I go in and he's, this morning he was awake already and he was reading a book. And I bring him a milkshake with protein every morning, like very first thing that he can drink some of before we start to get up. So he has a little bit of, you know, just something in his stomach, which makes it easier rather than trying to get started on an empty stomach. And usually the goal is for him to drink a little bit of that, rest for a few minutes. And, you know, read or whatever he needs to do to try to kind of reset his brain so that we can actually get out of bed, which is always a battle, 10 minutes later. But, you know, this morning, for example, you know, I went in and said, okay, great, you're already up, here's your milkshake. And, you know, there was no response. And I said, could you please drink your milkshake? And there was no response. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to leave the milkshake here for, you know, 5 minutes and come back and check on you. And I came back 5 minutes later and tried repeatedly saying, good morning, and your milkshake here is here. And, you know, how are you feeling? And I hope we can get up soon. No response. And then I came back and I said, okay, we have to get out of bed now because it's 7:25. And if we don't get out of bed, we're really going to be late. No response. And then, you know, I tried my usual trick saying, it would be great if you'd get out of bed. I'm very happy to help you. Let's get dressed. This is, you know, let's get the day started off on the right foot. And it just proceeds to ignore me. And, you know, I after a couple of minutes of this, I say, well, look, if you aren't going to get out of bed, I really don't want to do this, but I'm going to move your body for you. And at that point, you know, he usually starts to resist and things can go downhill quickly. So I stop and then, he finally he says, okay, I'm tired and cold. And I said, okay, I'll help you get dressed so you won't be cold. But he just wouldn't do it. So he then, you know, eventually got out of bed, took a few steps to the bathroom, and then ran back into bed. And so at a certain point, I said, look, you have to decide if you want to go to school today or not, because we won't have enough time to be able to get to school if you don't get up now. What's your choice? Are you choosing to stay in bed all day? Because, you know, I have to work and Dad has to work. So if you stay here, no screen time, you have to be in your room all day, or do you want to go to school? And he wouldn't answer or make a choice. So we gave up. We left him alone. And then around the time, like 10 minutes before school was supposed to start, he decided he wanted to go to school. And so at that point, he actually on his own, which is unusual, did get dressed and brushed his teeth and came down and then ran to school. So he made it to school about 10 minutes late. That is actually extremely unusual, so maybe that's a win. But most of the time it would result in him, like, not going to school for the day or just being really late. Yeah.
Okay. So when you went and talked to him, first thing, he was reading a book, you said?
Yes. He had woken up on his own
and
gotten a book.
Right. So was he still reading the book while you were trying to talk to him, or was he just sitting there with his eyes closed?
Oh, he was reading the book, but I did ask him to just put the book down for a second and check in with me. But that didn't
work.
Did he?
Okay. Yeah. So he was pretty engaged in the book, whatever the book was, it sounds like.
Yeah, he gets very hyper-focused when he's reading.
Okay. So knowing that, how realistic is it that he's going to hear you when you're trying to get him to do something if he's hyper engaged in a book or a video game or TV or whatever it is that's holding his attention?
Right. It's probably not realistic, but the only thing I can do is physically put my hand over the book or take the book away from him, and then that produces an oppositional response.
Mm-hmm.
And then things tend to escalate.
Mm-hmm. So what might be another thing that you can do?
I don't know. I'm open to suggestions.
Okay. So, I mean, here's what's coming up, or here's what I'm thinking is that he's engaged in the book. He's not hearing you, right?
Yeah.
So it's based on what, he's 9, you said?
He's 8. He's almost 9.
8. Almost 9. Okay. So from a developmental standpoint, he's probably 3 to 5 years behind his same age peers. So it's more like 6 or maybe even 4, depending on what the area of challenge is, right? And so it's difficult to transition from what you're doing, if you're enjoying what you're doing, into something else, right? And so, like, that's the question, right? So he's reading a book, which is, I mean, is actually pretty awesome, I have to say. You know, he didn't get up and get on his iPad or get on TV or start video games or anything like that. You know, he got up and started reading a book, which is something to find, you know, praise for, I think, and something that's a positive. Yes, you still have to get out the door and get him to school on time, or, you know, roughly on time. But what's a different way that you might be able to approach that and maybe start from a place of positivity and then go from there?
I really have no idea, because if I said, I think it's wonderful that you're reading and we have to get up at 7:25 and stop reading, it will have zero effect, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
do you ever engage with him about what he's reading?
I can. It's not a great time to do it when we're in a rush in the morning. You know, if he's reading, like, at night, at bedtime, I do.
Okay.
We're on a kind of tight schedule in the morning, so it's not a good time to start talking about what he's reading. I mean, he doesn't – he's sometimes asleep when I go in at 7:15, and then it's even harder. He happened to wake up a little bit earlier, and when he wakes up early, he gets out a book and starts to read. He loves to read, which is great. But the point being that what we really have to do in the morning is get up and get ready. We just don't have a lot of time. So it's fine if he reads until 7:15, but our schedule, which he knows very well, is that – 7:15, I go in, he gets his milkshake, he gets 10 minutes to do whatever he wants, and at 7:25, we have to get out of bed. And, you know, we have 20 minutes.
Medication as part of his routine?
Well, his weight gain is a major concern, so he can't have the medication until he's actually had breakfast, which is about 8 o'clock.
Okay. So he gets the medicine at 8?
Yeah. He takes Ritalin and guanfacine at 8, but... We tried medicating at 7:30, but then he just wouldn't eat anything. It's a struggle to get him to eat breakfast anyway, and his BMI is really low. It's 5%, so they're on the verge of taking him off the Ritalin anyway, so we cannot forego breakfast.
Definitely you would.
Yeah, so if we gave him the Ritalin at 7:30, it might help, or like 7:15, it might help a little bit with being able to focus on getting ready in the morning, but then he wouldn't eat anything before going to school.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't do that.
Does he eat lunch easily or no?
No, he never eats lunch. He doesn't eat at school. His meals are the protein shake I make him in the morning.
The moderator has left the conference.